TED Audio Collective.
It's TED Talks Daily. I'm Elise Hugh. We're in the midst of the most divided times in American history, and arguably in many other places around the world. Those on opposite sides of the political divide seem to exist in different realities. Even still, finding common ground is possible. In today's talk from TEDx Berkeley in 2020, social entrepreneur Nisha Anand shares how she learned to build bridges over years of hard work. It's not easy, but the framework she sets up includes a few first steps. TED Talks Daily is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until
the Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
But that's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/TED Talks. That's odoo.com/TED Talks. Odoo, modern management made simple.
In 1994, the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act passed. You probably know it as the Crime Bill. It was a terrible law. It ushered in an era of mass incarceration that allowed mandatory minimums, three strikes laws, the expansion of the death penalty. It was terrible. But it passed with bipartisan support. GOP House Speaker Newt Gingrich, architect of the Republican Revolution, led the way, signed into law by Democratic President Bill Clinton. Also in 1994, I was a senior in high school when this bill got passed, and you were likely to find me on the streets protesting any number of causes, including the crime bill. Newt was not on the top of my favorite person in this country list. This was the start of a movement that would pass a bill called the First Step Act. The New York Times called it the most significant reform in criminal justice in a generation. This is what I'm here to talk to you about today. This is radical common ground. And I'm not talking about the kind of common ground where, you know, we can talk about how much we love springtime or puppies are super cute. And it's not, you know, compromise common ground. This is common ground that's hard. It hurts. It's the type of common ground where you will be ridiculed and judged. But it's the type of common ground that can secure human freedom. It can save lives. And it's the type of common ground I was born to find. It's in my DNA. My dad was born during the partition in India. After the Indian independence movement, the country was really divided between people who wanted to keep the country together and those who wanted different independent nations. And when the British left, they just decided to draw a line, the partition, and make a new country. This started the largest mass migration, forced mass migration in human history. 15 million people trapped on the wrong side of these new borders. 2 million people dead during the partition. And my dad was the youngest baby in a Hindu family on the wrong side of the border. And like families all around the border, on both sides, they went into hiding. And I was told when I was little about the story of my family in hiding, and one day when armed men came into the house that they were hiding in, searching for families, my dad started crying, and my grandma started shaking him. And my grandfather, in that moment, he made the choice that he'd sacrifice his son in order to save the family. But luckily in that moment, he stopped crying. My grandma, you know, she shook him and he stopped crying. And I'm here today because he stopped crying. But I'm also here today because of that Muslim family that took us in. They also were held at gunpoint, and an armed man asked if they were hiding anyone. And they swore on the Quran that nobody was in that house. They chose in that moment when the entire country, you were everybody in the region, you could hate people who had different politics than you, different religion, you could kill people. That was what was happening. But they swore on their holy book. They chose the shared humanity over politics of that day, and we lived, and we survived. And I start with this story because often people tell me that my mission for Common Ground is the weak position. But I ask, how is that Muslim's family's actions weak? Because of them, my dad did grow up healthy in India, and he immigrated to this country. And I was born here in the late 70s. And like most first-generation kids, I was born to build bridges. I was a bridge between the old country and the new. And just growing up, that's what I did. I was a brown girl in the black and white South in Atlanta, Georgia. I was, like, on one hand, the perfect Indian daughter, straight A's, captain of the debate team. But on the other hand, I was also this radical feminist, punk rock activist, sneaking out of the house for concerts and, you know, getting arrested, like, all the time for causes. I was a mix of a lot of things. But they all live harmoniously in me. Building bridges is just natural. And I think all of us represent a mix of a bunch of things. I think we have that ability to find the common ground. But that's not how I was living my life at all. I moved to the Bay Area in 2001, and this was kind of a turning point for me. It was the start of the second Iraq War. And I was organizing with a bunch of activists, of course, and we were thinking that probably we needed to expand our circle a little bit. That we weren't going to successfully stop the war if, you know, just amongst us. So we decided we'd build bridges, expand our circle. And so the great anarchist versus communist soccer tournament of 2001 was born. That's it. That's how large my circle was allowed to expand. Building bridges with liberal Democrats? Oh, no way. That was a bridge too far. Local electeds? That was a bridge too far. And that was in 2001. I think you'll agree with me now, in 2020, it's gotten even worse. That division, that tribalism, we won't sit down at dinner with people who voted differently than us. We, like, see a mean tweet from our best friend, a tweet that, like, doesn't fit with our worldview, and all of a sudden they're canceled. The purity politics of the moment, gone. I sometimes wake up, I don't know what we're going to do. And people will ask me, how do we do that? But I know about common ground. I feel like we can build those bridges. But it's not easy. I have a concept that I go back to, and it's a concept that should be familiar to everybody since the beginning of human history. It's the idea of the commons. This shared place in the center of town, town square, the quad, but it's the place where you come together, your community, and you can listen to people on soapboxes with different ideas, and you can be very different. But you come together because you know together we're stronger than being apart. And today when I think of the commons, I think I extend it to kind of the resources we all share, collectively owned, like the air we breathe. I think of schools, parks. I think of the intelligence we share. We can share in libraries or the internet. And I think the internet's important. In this digital age, that shared humanity, that access to be together in the commons is at our fingertips. But we're not using it that way. We're not coming together. To choose that path towards the commons and to be with each other, you also have to choose love. That's a hard thing. But I know you can't go to the town square filled with hate for the town. You can't lead a people you don't love. You can't lead a country you don't love. And I don't think you can change the world and say, I'm only going to change it for the people just like me, my own circle of friends, not for the people I hate, not for them. It doesn't work. It's a terrible strategy. It doesn't work. But that's what we keep doing. I see it every single day. These silos are just getting stronger. And, you know, your corner of internet, of the internet, like Instagram or Twitter, we're just in an echo chamber talking to each other. So I can be really comfortable in my Berkeley Democratic Socialist Commons and talk to all of you. And my dad can be in his bootstrappy immigrant Republican Commons, and I can watch MSNBC. And he can watch Fox News. and we will not know the same things. We won't have the same, we won't live in the same world. We may never know each other or be with each other again. And I don't want to keep going down that path. And I know we can get back to a better path. I know we can find our way to the commons. And I know that because I had a first-hand look at the ability to do it and do it on a large scale. And so I want to get you back to the First Step Act and the criminal justice reform. I interviewed for a job with Van Jones about 7 years ago. And he's been a mentor and my boss, and he's actually an inspiration behind a lot of this in this speech. And he told me that we were going to pass bipartisan criminal justice reform. And I laughed because I thought that was an oxymoron. I was in the streets, go figure, at the Republican National Convention in 2000 in Philadelphia, and we were protesting the criminal justice system. And there were no Republicans on the streets with me at that protest. I remembered the crime bill. I lived through the tough on crime era. I didn't see it. But he saw it and he walked me through it. He saw me and people like him on the left, who it's always been an issue of dignity and justice, that this system has been racist since the start and discriminating against poor people and people of color, and it's an issue of justice and dignity. But he also saw something different from our colleagues on the right. The fiscal conservatives, they had an economic incentive to do it. They saw a system that cost the taxpayers a whole lot of money and was getting terrible results, and it wasn't making the communities any safer. The libertarian right, who believe in less government, saw an expansion of government control, an expansion of the police state. Mass incarceration is like antithetical to who they are. And the religious right, second chances, redemption. These are values that they hold dear, and the criminal justice system can't see those anywhere. And so there was common ground to be had. And that's what we set out to do. And under the leadership of the formerly incarcerated folks who've been leading this forever, we built this bipartisan coalition to pass criminal justice reform. 87 senators voted in favor of the First Step Act. And yeah, President Trump signed it. And because we were able to do that, because we were able to kind of look at that shared humanity, get over our distaste for working across the aisle, 20,000 people have been impacted in just the last year. 7,000 home who would not have been home. 17,000 years of human freedom restored just in the last year. Yeah. And Republicans and Democrats in this election cycle, almost all of them running, are running on platforms of criminal justice reform. They are trying to bring this bigger, stronger, bolder, and more reforms everywhere they are. That wasn't possible during the tough on crime era. And when people tell me that common ground is the weak position, or that my love for the people, or my belief in our shared humanity is naive, or that if I work with folks across the aisle, that I'm somehow getting taken advantage of, I say that to the folks coming home. Say that to those 2.2 million people that are still behind bars. And so now, our challenge is to make this possible across a whole bunch of other issues too. Human rights, immigration, all sorts of things, healthcare, mental health. I think there's common ground to be had, but it's not easy. If you want change in a large scale, you need large movements. And that means our circles have to be bigger. And it's not easy being a lefty working across the aisle. I certainly get my fair share of hate mail. But I think that that's exactly the radical approach we need right now. And so Jenny Kim, she is someone who is dead serious about second chance hiring. She wants to make sure that formerly incarcerated folks have a pathway to jobs and that businesses make it an amazing place for folks to work. She's also the deputy general counsel at Koch Industries, K-O-C-H, Koch. She's an amazing organizer, and I'm proud to work with her on this issue. And an issue I care deeply about, and probably a lot of you do too, climate, which seems divisive. Seems like there's no common ground to be had there. I think there is. Trump's own Department of Defense this year released a report saying that all future wars were going to be wars about resources, wars about climate. And so, yeah, I want to find partnership with the military. And I used to be the national director, national organizer, for the War Resisters League, the oldest pacifist organization in the country. But if there's common ground to be had there, yeah, I'll partner with them. It's not easy. The approach means we need to find love. We need to get back to that shared humanity and that commons. But I know this love, it doesn't just get us through Thanksgiving dinner. It's the kind of love that secures freedom, changes the world. But to do that, I have to step into my courage. And I want all of you to step into your courage. Just like that Muslim family stepped into their courage from my Hindu family all those years ago. I think we can do it. But it's a little bit uncomfortable. If you are who I know you to be, you know, someone who cares about change and progress and wants to see something change in the world, you probably want to know how, but you're also a little bit uncomfortable about me standing up here and celebrating with Newt and Coke and talking about partnerships with the military. I want you to feel those feelings. I feel them too. I don't enter into these partnerships lightly at all. My entire trajectory of who I am has made me think that it's not even possible. But I know it is. That feeling, that discomfort, that's preceded every major breakthrough in human history ever. That's that feeling that comes before a moonshot. And so I want to make you even a little more uncomfortable. I want you to think about an issue that you care deeply about, something that you want to see changed on a national or global scale. Think big. What would resolution look like? On a large scale, what would it look like to solve that problem? And can you get there with just your circle of friends? I know you can't. The anarchist communist soccer tournament isn't going to help bring about that change. So I want to think about how can we expand that circle a little more? Where is there common ground to be found? Can you think of any unlikely allies, strange partners? Further than that, who's in your way? Who's stopping you from finding that common ground? And is there room for them in that circle? I think there is. I think we have to be able to find it at this scale. And it means that we're going to have to step into that courage and include people, hold our vision so strong, know that justice and freedom is so important that we're able to include more people. Love the people who might not love us back. And so I want to ask you, who's your Newt? Who's your Coke? Who's the military in your story? And I want you to choose that common ground. Thank you.